Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you've hit the subscribe button so that you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's simply an option you select one time for convenience. There is even a subscribe page on the website that tells you not only the many places where, but how you can subscribe. Again, though, there's no cost to do that. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, comment, etc. on those platforms. You can always send comments to me through the website, plus you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners, and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Please help me spread the word about the show. I'd appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to draw in more listeners in the hopes that this ministry will bring them closer to Christ. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you, and do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, the big thing going around on social media right now is the push-ups challenge. Folks are posting themselves doing 10 push-ups and calling out others who they're challenging to do the same. Some people are even getting real creative and putting more into these videos than just a simple, here's me doing 10 push-ups. I'm thinking of the Ten Commandments and wondering, why don't people challenge others to post a video of themselves reciting the Ten Commandments, which would be a great awareness initiative. But more so, while physical fitness is great, and we do need to take care of the temple that is our body, we should challenge ourselves to be more outward with our faith and not be afraid to show others, literally, the work that we're putting in to build ourselves up spiritually. God doesn't need us to come up with a clever hashtag or a challenge name. He just wants us to glorify Him in all that we do. Amen? Moving on now with episode 61. My guest is a former Major League Baseball umpire, having worked in the American League for 25 years and been involved in 4 World Series. He went on to be a MLB supervisor for 8 years. He was raised Catholic and is also a veteran, having spent 4 years in the U.S. Marine Corps. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Rich Garcia.
Hi, Bruce. Hi, everyone. Happy to be on here with you, Bruce. Been looking forward to this.
Nice. Thank you, Rich. Looking forward to talking to you today. I said that you were raised Catholic. Where did you spend your childhood? What school did you go to? What is your family size? Those types of things.
I was born and raised in Key West, Florida.
Oh, wow.
So I'm a Floridian. And I started out school when I was a kid. From first grade all the way to the ninth grade, I went to a Catholic school, Mary Immaculate High School in Key West. After 1 year in the ninth grade, I transferred to a public school to play baseball because at the time, back then, they didn't have a baseball team in the Catholic school. So I technically graduated from Key West High School, a public school.
And what was your family size growing up?
Just my sister and I, my dad, my mom, my sister and I. My grandmother lived with us, and she did most of the raising. Thank God she was a saint. Her nickname was Joan of Arc.
Wow.
That was a great, great help for me.
Wow.
Growing up.
So was that ninth grade baseball, was that your first foray into sports?
No. I've been a baseball fan, I think, since I was born. I played baseball all day long. Everybody else went fishing and swimming and stuff. I just played ball. I played baseball. That was my, you know, my god, I guess, back then. I spent more time playing baseball than anything else.
Well, I don't want to fast forward too much here, but fill in the gap between, say, playing baseball in ninth grade and becoming a Major League Baseball umpire, meaning what was your involvement in sports over all those years?
Well, I did a little bit of boxing when I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
I actually went into the Marine Corps right out of high school as an 18-year-old.
Okay.
And I went in, technically I went in to box. That really never developed. I started playing baseball with the when I was in Okinawa. I was stationed in Okinawa for about a year and a half, and I went out for the baseball team, and I made the team. And from Okinawa, I was transferred over to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, where we had our really, really good baseball team representing the Marine Corps at the time. This is way back in 1960 when I went in, so it's been a while. Unfortunately, they don't have those kind of teams anymore.
Hmm.
They don't have the money, and they don't have the time, and I guess they don't even have the personnel anymore.
Hmm.
But from there, after my 4 years in the Marine Corps, I went back home. I'd had a couple scholarship offers. One at Wilmington College, which was a junior college at the time, a two-year college, and another one from the University of North Carolina.
Are you talking about a baseball scholarship?
Baseball scholarship, yes.
Wow, wow.
In the back of my mind, I always knew that I would probably never go to North Carolina because I knew my grades weren't that good. Like I said earlier, my attention was on playing baseball, and that was about it. I had no other inspiration to do anything else. But I went home. I was home a couple years, and I got married. And that didn't really work out. I was coaching a high school team. Actually, I was coaching the high school team for Mary Immaculate, the only Catholic school that we had in Key West. They finally got a baseball team.
Okay.
And I came home, and I coached that team for a couple of years, and we were pretty successful too. I was having a good time doing that. Of course, as you well know, the pay wasn't very, very good. My neighbor was an umpire, and one night he came over and asked me to help him out umpire a softball doubleheader at the Navy Yard.
Okay, let me jump in here for a minute. I'm going to keep the listeners in suspense before you continue that story, because before we get too far away from those 4 years that you spent in the Marine Corps, I want to just go back to that point in your life and ask, was there any aspect of your faith life that might have been a part of the 4 years that you were in the Marine Corps?
Not really. I mean, you know, we had the chaplains, they would come in and stuff, but really deep down inside, I not that I did this intentionally, it just never, you know, I just wasn't in it, you know. It just didn't, you know, it didn't work that way, even though I knew I had God in my life. I knew He was there. I would pray, but I guess the answer has got to be no. At that time, my faith wasn't not even close to what it is today.
And just for my own education, because I was never in the service, did they do something like offer a Catholic Mass, or is it if you want to go, you have to just go out on your own and find a local Catholic church? How does that work?
Well, no, they had, like I said, they had chaplains, and they would have services, but they wouldn't have them every Sunday. It wasn't like every Sunday, because sometimes you were out on maneuvers or whatever. You know, it wasn't like a Sunday thing. But it wasn't like on Sunday you just sat, you know, you didn't do anything. We had things to do, and it just wasn't. I don't think it was part of my life at that time.
Yeah.
It just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Did they offer it? I'm sure they did. Did we have churches? I'm sure they did.
Okay.
Like I said, you know, I was 18 years old. I just left home. I've just graduated from high school. You know, going to Catholic school, when you go to Catholic school for that many years, you know, you have that instilled, it's in you, you
yep.
know?
Yep.
It's kind of like this virus, you know, you have it, we all have it, we're all going to get it, so, and that's basically what you can say. I will say that the way things are today, as far as the umpiring profession, the ministry has really, really grown in the profession.
Awesome, awesome.
A whole lot more than what we had when I was there.
Well, Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek, and as an umpire, you clearly need to have thick skin, but even a devout Catholic would have to be asked, what does make someone decide to become an umpire when you know that you're going to face constant criticism and have people arguing with you all the time? And maybe this ties back to the story that you were starting to tell that I interrupted about your neighbor coming over to ask about the softball doubleheader.
Yeah, well, going back to that doubleheader, maybe I can answer your question. I wouldn't go unless he let me work behind home plate. Even though I'd never umpired a game in my life. And he finally gave in, and I loved it. And there was something in it. I can't put my finger on it, even after all these years.
Mm.
There was just something in it that I loved. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that night. And from that point on, I realized that I wasn't going to be a baseball player. I wasn't going to be a coach because I didn't have the education at the time to be able to do that at a school. And I thought, well, I like this. This is what I'm going to do. I was working in the post office at the time. And I started doing high school games. I started doing, you know, Pony League games. I did every game, any game they asked
wow.
me to do, I
wow.
would do.
Yeah, so it gave you the opportunity to still be involved with the game, like you said.
Exactly.
Without being a player, without being a coach. I see.
Exactly.
Well, listeners, many of us can point to a specific time, a turning point when our faith life became stronger, and Rich is included in that too. That's why I wanted him to be honest with you and talk about what you heard him say with the Marine Corps years and things like that. But before I ask him to go further about that, I do want to mention that if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish securely online. And for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me through the contact page on the website, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. I do want to thank Tim Triplett, the head football coach at Holy Family Catholic in Victoria, Minnesota, for sending me a check. He was the guest on episode 55 of CSR, talking about the National Catholic Coaches Association. Anyhow, if you're cool with doing it online, look for the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Pray about it and see if this ministry might be somewhere that you feel moved to support. I would truly appreciate your support. If you haven't already heard them, go back and listen through the last several episodes to a number of examples that I was giving about many expenses that your donation helps me with. So no contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. It all helps with the various expenses related to running Catholic Sports Radio. Rich, during your 25 years as an MLB umpire, certainly not during games, but were there times pre-game on the field, pre-game in the locker room, where you were able to maybe minister to others who were part of a game? Was the atmosphere conducive to being open about sharing your faith?
Not really. When you way back in 19, I got to the big leagues in 1975. Not really. The culture at the time was really, really, I guess the word terrible would be something that would fit. There was a lot of drinking going on. There was a lot of going out, a lot of carousing.
Mm.
I look back at it and compared to what it is today, and it's so much different today, so much better today, for the guys. You know, they have phone calls every Friday. They have a conference, prayer call every Friday. All the umpires that want to get on can get on. The minor league umpires are also included in that. And to be honest with you, the culture was not what we would like it to be.
Okay.
And I'm not blaming anybody, because we all have our own minds, and we have our own decisions to make. People make choices. And I'm not blaming anybody for the choices that other people made or that I made. For that sake, but at the time it just wasn't there. We would go to church probably almost every Sunday. We try to go. We had some cities you could go. The church was close by.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to go early Sunday morning. And some ballparks they had services, and other ballparks they didn't. In some ballparks we were included, in other ballparks we were not.
Okay.
I mean, I say we were included, I'm talking about the umpires.
The umpires, yeah. Well, what about yourself in terms of any rituals that you might have had personally? This time I will say during a game, it could have been pregame also, but after a game, as far as maybe a prayer that you would say to yourself, or a crucifix in your pocket, or a crucifix around your neck, anything like that by chance?
No, I've never had anything around my neck. I've never had anything around my wrist. And the only piece of jewelry that I've ever worn was my wife's, the wedding ring that I have. I'm not a jewelry guy. I've never had any of that stuff on me. So no, the answer to that is no. But as an umpire, if you want to survive, you better pray. you need a lot of prayers. There were a lot of times where I talked to God, get me out of this jam, get me out of this city, get me out of this place. And like most of us, very selfishly, it was done when we needed them. Fortunately, I've grown I've grown to not only talk to God when I need him, but which I always need him, but not only what in need, but to do it every day. Keep him close to me, and I thank him every morning for the blessings that he's given us. To be honest with you, to go back to my spiritual life, there's nobody been more influential in my spiritual life than my wife. My wife is she's a Catholic from head to toe, and she's the one that kept the show going on Sundays when I was working.
Beautiful.
Taking the kids to church every Sunday. Our kids went to a Catholic school in their lower grades. Later on in high school, they decided they wanted to go to public school. And at the time, it was very convenient for us. My wife was working at the time. I was mostly on the road. And the high school was right down the street from us, Countryside High School. And our kids went to Countryside High School. But Sunday they went to church, whether they liked it or not.
I mentioned in the intro that after you left the field, you were an MLB supervisor for 8 years. Did you find that working with the upcoming umpires in AAA ball, preparing them for MLB, that you were able to talk about life lessons? Maybe your faith was at the root of it, meaning not just talking to them about their strike zone or positioning on the field.
Yes, I thank God took me off the field and put me in that position to do that. I have a very, very strong relationship with those guys today. And they, as far as I know, they're all very, very faith-based. They all believe in God. They're believers. They talk about God. They talk about faith. They talk about prayer. And I love that. I had an opportunity to do that. I had an opportunity to work with them, not only as, like you said, as umpires, but as men. And some of the mistakes that I made, some of the avenues that I went through, try to keep them away from those going in those doors.
Wonderful.
And hopefully, I've been successful at it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like a victory for the kingdom. Before mentioning the ability for the listeners to contribute to the show, I referenced a turning point when faith became stronger. You say that that moment for you was about 10 years ago. Just tell the listeners about that.
Traveling for 25 years and making adjustments and doing this. And to be honest with you, my wife and I were going through a little bit of a rough spot. I needed God in my life more. I needed him to really, really slap me in the face harder than what he's done the last few years. And I decided that I was gonna do it. I was gonna find ways to make myself a better man. I was gonna find different men's groups to get into. First of all, I went to a Christian counselor who was excellent. He showed me a lot of different ways to pray, showed me a lot of different ways to get close to God, gave me a lot of exercises to do on my own, to keep my mind thinking in the right direction, thinking the right way. Being honest with you, I was brought up in a very dysfunctional culture. In Key West, I was allowed to go to a pool hall. I was allowed to see people gambling. I saw men with other women. Mm-hmm. I went to cockfights. I was allowed to go to cockfights. I mean, I was 10, 11, 12 years old when I was doing all this.
Wow.
And so growing up and coming into that baseball culture, which I referenced earlier, was not really, I wasn't the kind of person that you really wanted to put in that spot.
Mm.
And So, you know, reliving everything, thinking about everything when I was going through with his counselor, you know, we started talking and he got a lot out of me. He got a lot more, just as much out of me as I got out of him, which was great. Then I decided to join this This Man Is You group at one of the churches. It was in my parish. Then I was with another group at my church here at St. Brendan's, and somehow I've got an application for an Emmaus retreat, and I belong to the Pinellas Men's Emmaus group, and I did my Emmaus walk at Nativity in Brandon way back, and I believe it was 2012, I believe. And that was the best thing that I ever did.
Beautiful.
That three-day retreat, actually 2.5 days, was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow.
And I'm emphatic about it. I preach that to as many men as I can. I go after guys to try to go to the retreat. I know some can't. And I've even offered to pay for them to go, because the impact that it had on my life, my spiritual life, was just unbelievable.
Beautiful.
That from that point on, I've been a leader with that group. I've led two retreats. I have to say, I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm really God-based right now. I'm as high as I can be on our Lord.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And listeners, this has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation with Rich. I want you to understand that, as I've said so many times in this show, sports are great and there's a lot of wonderful qualities to them and so much that can be gained from being involved with sport, but we don't worship sport. We worship God and God alone, and in Him there's hope for everybody. And so not everybody that comes on this show is going to have a glamorous story where it's just been all sunshine and flowers every day of their life. And we need to hear from real people like Rich Garcia, who a lot of people probably look with starry eyes and say, wow, an MLB umpire for 25 years. But I'm glad that you're getting to hear a raw story from someone who went through what he just described, his life in Key West as a youngster, the time that he described in the Marine Corps where he wasn't as close to God as he is now, because we have to realize that this is reality for a lot of us, but we have hope in our Lord and Savior every day, and Rich is testifying to that. So Rich, unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you for sharing this testimony. It's just been very, very rewarding to hear the work that our Lord has done in you and where you are today. God bless you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I love to share. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And listeners, we're going to close this time with a prayer to play fair in the game of life. And let's do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, in the struggle that goes on through life, we ask for a field that is fair, a chance that is equal with all the strife, the courage to strive and to dare. And if we should win, let it be by the code, with our faith and our honor held high. And if we should lose, let us stand by the road and cheer as the winners go by. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose. Thank you.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.